The following program is being brought to you on the Seventh Wave Network. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit SeventhWaveNetwork.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit VoiceAmerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Is now in session. Welcome to Spirituality 101 with your instructor, Reverend Norman. Come prepared with questions and comments and see through the lens of spirituality. And now, here's your host, Reverend Norman.
Welcome to Spirituality 101. This is your host, Reverend Norma. And today we are preparing to add another dimension to this missing college course called Spirituality 101. I hope you're relaxed. I hope you are looking forward to the upcoming weekend. And I am hoping also that you have paper and pencil handy. Today we are going to the mailbox. It seems that there are many of you on the outside who are very, very interested in the topic relationships, particularly from the perspective of the spiritual nature of our relationships, timing, rhythm, that governs our relationships. And today we are going to honor your questions by opening up the floor to answers. I'm not the only one with answers here, and I know that there are many of you out there who have had your own relationship issues, who have had your own rejoicing in your relationships, and we would like to hear from you today. So we're asking you to, if you have a relationship story, if you have a relationship question, if there is something that you need clarified, we're asking that you pick up that phone and call us at 1-866-472-5794. 1-866-472-5794. Let's make this a participatory session, where I will share what I have come to know around the subject of relationships, and hopefully you would call in with your questions and your comments and share. Our relationships are intended to be very sacred. People are drawn into our lives, or we draw people into our lives for a reason. There's a reason. There's something that we need to exchange. There's an exchange of energy that happens when we're in relationships. They're drawn into our lives very often for a season, and this is where we have difficulty sometimes because it's hard to let go once the season is over. But most importantly, our relationships offer us unique opportunities to grow spiritually, offers us mirrors into which we can look into these mirrors and see quite clearly where it is that we have to get some work done. Now, I know that may be totally different to what you've come to believe about relationships, but looking into the mirror, what it is that is hard for me to take in another may very well be the very thing that I need to work on at some level inside of myself. I see we have our very first caller, Paula from Maryland, and so I'd like to stop here and welcome Paula to the show. Paula, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Well, hello, and how are you? Welcome.
Wonderful. Thank you for taking my call, Reverend Norma. I hope you're having a wonderful day as well.
It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood.
And your topic that is very intriguing, and I have a question.
You do?
Yes.
Well, let's see what we can do with it.
You know, okay, if one is going for an interview, let us say you want to become, you're going for a managerial post, you would prepare yourself. You wouldn't be packing boxes at maybe Giant, and you're going for a managerial post on an interview. So my thing is, what does it take to prepare oneself? How do you get ready for a sacred relationship?
That's a fascinating question and one that is very, very valid. Can you speak up a little bit louder? The technicians are saying they're having a hard time picking up the sound. How does one prepare oneself when one is about to enter into the sacredness of a relationship?
Yeah.
And that's a very powerful question because, you know, it's every human being, and let me come back to you the way you came to me, every human being who's got two legs and has been able, had the ability to walk from their very early childhood also has the potential to be the world's fastest runner. However, if no training is put into place, if discipline is not put into place, if there is not a lot of commitment to the work that must be done in order to transform these pair of feet into just walking feet, from walking feet into feet that become the fastest in the world, if we don't put a whole combination, if we don't put a strategy, if we don't put a technique, if we don't put some training in there, the potential may very well be there, but one would never become the fastest runner in the world. Can you understand that?
Definitely.
In the same way, we have the same potential to be able to enjoy our relationships at a sacred level. However, it requires on our part preparation. For example, do I know who I am? In order for me to be able to relate to you, Paulo, in a, let's say, in a friendship one-on-one, I've got to be real clear about my strengths and my weaknesses and my ability to connect with you. I've got to be pretty tolerant because you're someone who's been raised outside of my own social graces or my own social community. So therefore, there is a need for a certain amount of tolerance in order to make this friendship work. I am going to have to learn how to give and take. I am going to have to remind myself constantly of the social graces that we were taught in kindergarten. Please, excuse me, I beg your pardon. May I? Let's share. Let's honor. Can you understand that?
Yes. Yes, I can.
And so in preparation for a sacred relationship, one has got to become as gracious as one can possibly become as a human being. Remember that relationships mean one individual or one group of individuals relating to another. So there is need for a certain amount of emotional stability in order to make this emotional experience work. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
But most important that I think people forget are those kindergarten rules. Be nice. Share. Say, excuse me. Say, please. I beg your pardon. Apologize. If we can master and remember in our everyday walk to hold on to those social graces we were taught in kindergarten, our relationships would be a whole lot better. If we can stop and do some inner work so that you take that awareness on the inside and begin to become aware of the places where you may need to strengthen the ways in which you do things, places where you need to let go, constantly strive for a broader perspective of the world in which you live. You know, I think generally people live in the six-block radius in which they were born, and even though they've moved several times, they take that six-block radius with them. And unless we open up ourselves to expansion and to learning more about others, we really don't have very much to bring to a relationship. Relationship means I admire what you have, and I'll accept what you bring, but I also have to bring something to the table. Does that help you to understand it?
Yes, it does, and I think that's part of the problem because so often, you know, we are so focused on ourselves that we don't take the time to even really look at what it is that we are looking for, seriously looking for.
Well, I think I'd like to make a slight correction there. You say we're focused on ourselves. I think we may be focused on ourselves, but what we're really focused on is what we need or what we want from this relationship.
I was just going to say what we want, because sometimes it's not what we really need. It's what
that's right. What do I need from this relationship? I think of people who write out great long lists of what it is that they're looking for in a partner, and they're encouraged to do that. And I have to tell you, when my ideal partner came along, it didn't look anything like that list that I had.
Oh, dear me.
Have I been able to help you to understand the preparation process?
Very much so. Very much so.
Get back to the basic. I know you've called into the show before, so I'm assuming you're a listener. Get back to the basics that I keep trying to teach over and over again. Get back to walking in the rhythm. Find your own personal sacred rhythm. Get into meditation. Get into breathing. Examine your breathing. Teach yourself how to calm yourself down in an angry situation. I don't care how much you are in love with somebody. If they have got explosive anger issues, this relationship is not going to work. So it's necessary to begin to look at, maybe I need to do some anger management work. Maybe I need to be a little bit more tolerant. And that's part of the preparation. The preparation begins with inner searching, inner seeking, grabbing hold of who you are. So when the time comes, you know exactly what you're about to put on that table. Can you feel me?
Yes. It's about us recognizing, and from what I'm hearing, it's about us recognizing that we need to really know ourselves and grow. To grow.
Because the relationships offer us this unique opportunity to grow. That's what they're really for, you know. Pulling people, whether it's the relationship with your mother, your sister, your brothers, your co-workers, your friends, your significant other, relationships generally offer us the opportunity to grow and become who we really are.
Yes, and I'm beginning to understand that from what you're saying now. Thank you.
Thank you so much for calling.
Thanks.
Don't go away, listeners. We're going into a break. This is Reverend Norma, and we're talking about the spiritual nature of relationships today.
Your online community for positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
We all want peace. We all desire a more meaningful life. We work hard to achieve these things, but at what avail? The key is authentic living with Andrea Matthews. Andrea will interview some of the great spiritual experts of today and will provide wisdom to help you raise your consciousness to the level of your own I Am. Your authenticity can give you miraculous gifts, but you have to know how to get there. Listen for Authentic Living with Andrea Matthews. Heard live every Wednesday afternoon at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, 1 p.m. Pacific Time on the Seventh Wave Network.
What's this? Milk. Low fat, no fat. They're milk too, and their names rhyme.
This man may sound odd.
Low fat, no fat.
But to his 3-year-old daughter helping him pick out food, he makes perfect sense.
Here's cheese with holes in it.
Learning starts long before school does, and children are naturally curious. Take simple moments like shopping and turn them into learning moments.
It's called Swiss.
Swiss has holes.
That's right. Oh, can you say gorgonzola?
Gorgonzola.
Turn everyday moments into learning moments. Visit bornlearning.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Let's sing that new song.
My music track, track, track from my modem jack, jack, jack plays MP3s, threes, threes, and I download fast, fast, fast. I read the bits, bits, bits on the microchips, chips, chips, and I burnt, burnt, burnt all my favorite hits, hits, hits.
By the sixth grade, many girls lose interest in technology. but parents can help keep them updated. Go to girlsgotech.org.
A public service announcement brought to you by Girl Scouts of USA and Ad Council.
Journey into the realm of spirit, the source of all things. Master fear in these tumultuous times and learn ancient ways to abundant love and healing. Why Shamanism Now? A practical path to authenticity will awaken the unique genius within you. Host Christina Pratt challenges you to initiate your innate powers within to gain health, well-being, and joy through the practices of Last Mask Center for Shamanic Healing. Tune in each week to Why Shamanism Now, Wednesdays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern on 7th Wave Network.
Your online community for positive change. 7th Wave Network.
This is Spirituality 101 with Reverend Norma. We encourage your participation in this course. Please call in toll-free at 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. If you wish to provide written correspondence, please address your emails to myspirituality101@yahoo.com. Now, back to Spirituality 101.
Welcome back. This is Reverend Norma. You're listening to Spirituality 101, and today we are diving into the mailbag, and we have questions on the spiritual nature of relationships. Our relationships are intended to provide us with the unique opportunities so that we may grow, expand in our development, and begin to fit very comfortably in the spiritual aspect of our nature. The first relationship, of course, that we must examine very, very, very carefully is our relationships with ourselves. How do you relate to yourself? How do you feel about yourself? How do you feel about your image? And when we begin to examine that, there are things about ourselves that we love very much, and there are usually things about ourselves that we wish we could change. But then we have to be brutally honest with ourselves to determine, to what extent am I really, really uncomfortable with those aspects of myself that I do not like? And if this is causing a tremendous amount of discomfort and what I would call distraction, because on our road to success, on our spiritual growth, whatever it is that we are attempting to accomplish, if we're walking within our spirit and in our rhythm, a great deal of discomfort over a particular aspect of our being, then it's time for us to stop and pay attention and determine what it is that we can do to fix it. Because obviously, whatever it is, it's going to require our attention in order to be able to fix it. So if it bothers you that much, then stop and do something about fixing whatever that image is, whatever it might be. On the other hand, there is a level of growth where one ascends to, where one becomes quite comfortable with our body and who we are and where we are. And that's an even better place to arrive at, where one can be absolutely comfortable with where one is at, because one has to be reminded that the body does not live eternally. That is the one part of us that dies. That is the one part of us that disintegrates. It is the spirit, however, that is truly, truly what it is that we should be working on. Now, when we can understand that and grasp that, then these discomforts that we have with the physical aspects of ourselves begins to wane in the background. But until we get there, if we're truly, truly bothered by whatever the aspect of our body or our image that is in the way, then we need to stop and do something about it. How do you relate to yourself? How do you treat yourself? I mean, do you love flowers? Or do you buy yourself a rose, a bunch of flowers every now and again because that is something that you enjoy? Are you generous to yourself? Are you generous to yourself with your time? Are you generous to yourself with compliments? Are you generous to yourself in the way you take care of the physical body and the spirit? These are all things we have to examine when we're looking at our relationships with ourselves. Because it is through this image of the relationship that you have with yourself that you will reach out to have a relationship with others. If you do not flatter yourself, if you do not love yourself, the ability to love somebody outside of yourself is going to be a little bit difficult and more than a stretch. So begin to examine what your relationship with yourself is. What is your relationship to your Creator? However you may perceive that Creator, we did not form ourselves, we were created. What is your relationship to the two people who participated in making your journey here very real? One has to stop and think about that relationship. What is your relationship to Mother Earth? Who, of course, nurtures us and holds us here. Very important that we stop for a minute and discover how we feel about this earth upon which we walk, this earth that nurtures us. How do we feel about nature? These are all things, if you're on a serious spiritual journey, that you've got to kind of carry a notebook and begin to make notes about your true feelings and your relationships with things that are very real. When we can love that tree that we walk past every day, plant a garden and enjoy and love the fruits of our labor, then we are in a place to be able to engage the sacredness of a relationship. Because the sacredness in relationships demand that we love every aspect of the beloved, whether that beloved is a child, it's an adult, it's a family member. It requires of us that we reach out and totally love and embrace every single aspect. What is your relationship with your significant other? And how truthful are we when we begin to examine that? Because there are so many hidden agendas that we hide from ourselves. And where I'm heading with this is that our intention as we stand on the threshold of developing a relationship is what determines what we will get from it. Because relationships are intended to be teachers. If you are standing forth in resistance to that which you need to learn, and notice I stress the word need, and the universe pulls into your space that person who is there to teach you what you need, but you have not yet mastered the art of, you've not at all mastered the art of, I need to learn this, and I need to steel myself and do what I need to do to be able to master this. If you are still in that mode of resistance, I am here to tell you that when that person gets drawn into your space, resistance will become the major issue in a relationship that is really intended to be sacred. I sincerely hope that I'm probably making that very clear. What is your intention? How serious are you, really, about working on yourself? Because when a relationship shows up, particularly a sacred one, it is intended to help you to do just that, to help you to work, to help you to resolve, to help you to grow. And so one of the things we must examine is our resistance, our natural resistance on the inside to fixing those things we must fix and doing those things that we must do, because that partner will show up out of love with a requirement that you take a serious look and do what you must do. I've got a very interesting question here from a young lady who says, I have a boyfriend And I love him very dearly. We have really good times together, she says. But when we have bad times, when we fight, it is really bad. How could we be in love as much as we are, she writes, and yet have these awful, awful times when we hurt each other so much? And Julia, I would like to thank you for that question. But I'm hoping that I've probably already answered a part of that question by saying that we draw into our space what it is that we need so we can grow in our divinity. And whatever is in the space that does not allow us to grow, the individual that is drawn into our space has a universal requirement to kind of become the mirror. So you both may need to stop and make a serious examination of what it is that you fight about. What aspect of what it is that you fight about is in the way? And then turn and make that inner search and ask the question, whether is this a mirror of what it is that I personally need to be working on in order that I can become a better person? Because once you probably start working on whatever that aspect is, you will find that the relationship will become a whole lot better. Our partners provide the mirrors into which we can take a good look at what it is that we need to change within ourselves or adjust in ourselves, and vice versa. So I would say take a good look into that mirror and determine exactly what is the issue that is resistant, causes resistance between you. And then ask yourself the question, is this something I need to work on? Is this something he needs to work on? Get working on it and see whether or not that love will not grow. I see I have another caller. Her name is Michelle, and she's calling from Virginia. Michelle, are you there?
Yes, hello. I'm here.
How are you?
I'm well. How are you, Reverend Norma?
I am good. Is it a beautiful day in Virginia?
It is. I wish I were out enjoying it. Unfortunately, I'm at work. So, but it is a lovely, gorgeous, gorgeous day. I hope you get to get out and enjoy it yourself.
I will try. Now, how can I help you?
Well, I wanted to give a question and also a comment. I do appreciate the answer you just gave to the question for the young lady who had written in, because I think that's a very awesome statement about, you know, using that mirror and reflecting and seeing, you know, what things you need to work on yourself, and it's not just necessarily the other person bringing a problem into the relationship. So I thank you for that as well, because it kind of brought into mind some other things that may be different from what I wanted to ask, but it brings another point to light, so thank you for that.
You're welcome.
My question is, you were stating earlier in the broadcast about getting to know yourself, you know, asking those questions, are you in touch with yourself, making sure that you're, you know, you're aware of who you are and bringing that into a possible relationship. And I wonder also if part of that building and making that relationship connection of knowing yourself, another relationship that also is essential is that relationship to God or to the universe or to a higher order, basically. Once you're comfortable with that relationship and knowing the give and the take in that sense, does that help, or can that play a factor as well in your personal relationships?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We're pieces of God. We're pieces of the universe. We are pieces of God, and inherent in us is all that divinity. And the absolute purpose is to bring that divinity out. Whether we attract 16 partners, 10 partners, one partner, we're attempting to bring that divinity out. We're going to a break. I'm going to ask you to please don't go away. We'll come right back to finishing this answer.
Okay.
Be extraordinary. Seventh Wave Network.
Real- Reprogram Your Life specializes in the design and implementation of life-changing spiritual experiences. Let us help you to expand your consciousness, grow wisdom, or foster realignment of body, mind, and spirit. Whether it's individualized instruction or a group encounter, we are here to tailor the event to suit your needs. Go to www.reprogramyourlife.net or call us at 301-920-2291. That's reprogramyourlife.net or call 301-920-2291. Reprogram Your Life, pioneers in motivation and rehabilitation.
The results indicate your child has neuroblastoma.
There's evidence of metastasis.
You need to schedule a bone marrow.
We'll need to perform a surgical
urinary
biopsy.
VMA
MIBG
scan.
After you hear your child has cancer, chances are you don't hear anything else. CureSearch.org connects you to the most comprehensive research and advice on childhood cancer and to other families who know exactly what you're going through. CureSearch.org. You're not as alone as you feel. Brought to you by CureSearch and the Ad Council.
Just what is SkillsUSA?
SkillsUSA specifically prepares you for the workforce.
SkillsUSA empowers students to connect with a network of people. SkillsUSA allows students to connect with business and industry, to manage their education, and to really get a feel of the real world.
SkillsUSA.
Find out more on the web at skillsusa.org. What can you tell me about SkillsUSA?
SkillsUSA teaches you employability skills. So you know how to deal with people, you have teamwork, your resume is going to look awesome.
Well, it's important to know your technical skills, but not only that, to have soft skills, the skills of learning how to communicate with people.
SkillsUSA.
On the web at skillsusa.org.
The new home for visionary positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
This is Spirituality 101 with Reverend Norma. We encourage your participation in this course. Please call in toll-free at 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. If you wish to provide written correspondence, please address your emails to myspirituality101@yahoo.com. Now, back to Spirituality 101.
Thank you. This is Reverend Norma, and today we are talking about the spirituality that is inherent in our relationships, particularly sacred relationships. And I've got Michelle on the line, and she brought a wonderful question to the table. Michelle, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. You asked the question of you appreciated what had been said about relationships, but you wanted to know how our relationship with God, with the universe, connects into the power of our relationships. And I said, absolutely, it does. Love, relationships are founded upon the word trust. And very often when relationships start falling apart, it's because there are trust issues. But if we are walking in a stream or a rhythm with the intention of being able to trust our God, to trust the universe, to trust that as it is above, so it is also below, then that level of knowledge, divine knowledge, would help us to understand that the place where we first root our trust is in our God, or in the cosmos, or in the universe. Because if I trust that the universe knows what it is doing, if I trust my God, then I will have to acknowledge that if this person is standing in my face, open to relationship with me, then that person has been sent by a higher source. Can you understand that?
Mm-hmm. Yes, that makes perfect sense.
And when you can trust that with implicit trust, then you could step out and take the risk of self-examination. And notice I said self-examination, not so much tearing apart the person who has stepped into your field. But this self-examination to go, God, you sent me this. I am standing here trembling with fear because I'm not sure that this is all or what it is that I need. But I trust you. And if the magnetic force of the universe has pulled this into my space, guide my process to understand how I should proceed. Because every relationship is an opportunity for you to look into that mirror.
Right, and see.
And make a determination and see what it is. For example, you're in a relationship, and this comes straight from my life. You're in my former life, let me put it this way. Life before the marriage I have now. I was raised with this notion of it's a meal time, so one has to sit at the table and one has to eat in a very structured way, and family time is this time around the table. Now, the other people that were around me did not necessarily grow up that way, or that was not very important, but I was very rigid in that requirement. It took many years before I woke up to the fact that the universe drew this person into my life to get me out of rigidity. Because I'm walking a spiritual path, and when one is walking a spiritual path, one cannot hold on to rigidity. So obviously the universe had to send someone into my life who will begin to shake the foundations of that rigidity to allow me to move on. Can you see that?
I can see it. Almost the same as, you know, the universe will send to you different circumstances to help you grow that may not have anything to do with a relationship. It may be work-related to help you move to a new position or, you know, whatever we see as an obstacle at that time. I guess the same concept applies in a relationship. You may come across and be with someone that may be of a different path as you, but if you're trusting in God and know that He is providing to you an opportunity for growth, then the same rules, I guess, then apply.
Absolutely. Absolutely. The universe is one great magnetic field. We are great magnetic fields walking the universe. And once we broadcast that intention, Lord, I want to grow, then some very interesting partners get pulled into our space, whether they are just basic straightforward friendships, they are significant others, even the children that we attract into our families. The children that get attracted into our family, every single relationship is an opportunity to learn something more about self. It's an opportunity to be able to expand, to have someone there supporting you as you engage in whatever the dismantling needs to be so that you can build up. But at the end of every relationship, whether it went beautifully or less than beautifully, it was an opportunity. And we generally do not leave relationships without some level of growth.
Exactly. Yeah.
Did that help you to understand it?
It does, yes. It helps to connect, I mean, both the question that I had and, again, the comments you made prior about that mirror image of a person in your relationship. They're there for that intention for you to look and to see what things you need to work on or whatever. You need to shake up, as you said. So.
See, many people, a lot of people look into the mirror for beauty. For beauty.
That's true.
And they look into the mirror every single day. You brush the hair, you put on the makeup if you're a woman, you look at the teeth, you're really checking in the mirror for the cosmetics. And so the universe goes, aha, she's looking in that mirror, or he's looking in that mirror, but not into those eyes that go all the way into the soul. So let me pull this individual in.
That makes you do that.
And the person becomes the mirror who will mirror what it is that you need to work on. I hope that helps you to understand.
It does. It does greatly. Thank you very much. Thank you.
You're welcome, and have a wonderful weekend.
You too. Be blessed.
Thank you. I have a very interesting question in my mailbag today, and this person says, can you explain the difference between twin flames and soulmates? For there is a lot being written about this. I've read a lot about this, but I'm still unclear about the differences between the two. Joan, I thank you for your question, and it is a question that should actively be engaging our minds at this time in the Earth's growth, development, and in our transitions. Let's start with soulmate. A soulmate is a person who is aligned to one's soul purpose. And therefore, a soulmate can be male, it can be female, it can be a child. I can be an adult and have a soulmate that is a child, or the other way around. It could be a partner, and soulmates lead to extremely good partners because soulmates keep reincarnating over and over again with a commitment, with a universal commitment that lies between the two souls to support each other until whatever that commitment to the universe is fulfilled. So that one, I may be interacting for, let's say, four lifetimes with a soulmate, and in lifetime number one, there was this aspect of my plan that soulmate is going to help me to fulfill, and vice versa. And then in lifetime number six, we may come back together again so we can do another aspect of the plan that is between us. And soulmates, of course, after a while, they're very, very closely united. They understand each other extremely well. The rhythm of their vibration is in total sync, and that allows them to be able to accomplish much in the world and also give the universe this wonderful opportunity to see two souls who are resonating at the same level in terms of purpose. And that resonation in terms of purpose brings this beautiful opportunity to work on our stuff really, really quickly. And that's a soulmate. And a soulmate could be your sister, it could be your husband, it could be your boyfriend, it could be a cousin, it could be a friend. Twin flames, however, if you take a look at the image that I sent out announcing this week's session, I literally have a picture there of twin flames. Twin flames are exactly the two halves of each other. We come with the same vibration, we come from the same source, and then a split takes place. And if you will hold that thought, we will go off to a break and come right back to finish this description. Thank you.
Taking you to the threshold of a dream and beyond. Seventh Wave Network.
Reprogram Your Life specializes in the design and implementation of life-changing spiritual experiences. Let us help you to expand your consciousness, grow wisdom, or foster realignment of body, mind, and spirit. Whether it's individualized instruction or a group encounter, we are here to tailor the event to suit your needs. Go to www.reprogramyourlife.net or call us at 301-920-2291. That's reprogramyourlife.net or call 301-920-2291. Reprogram Your Life. Pioneers in motivation and rehabilitation.
Mom! My tooth fell out!
The coach says I can play shortstop!
I get to be a deciduous tree!
You live for the firsts in your child's life. But how do you cope with the firsts that come after your child is diagnosed with cancer? CureSearch.org connects you to the doctors and scientists whose collaborative research has turned childhood cancer from a nearly incurable disease to one with an overall cure rate of 78%. CureSearch.org. You're not as alone as you feel. Brought to you by CureSearch and the Ad Council.
Mom?
Dad?
How long should I wait for you?
Mom?
If I'm at soccer practice.
What if something happens? Will you come get me?
There's no reason not to have a plan in case of a terrorist attack.
Mom, if you're not home, should we go to the neighbor's house?
And some extremely good reasons why you should.
Can you tell me?
Everybody should have a plan. Take 5 minutes to talk about where you'll meet and how you'll get in touch with each other in an emergency. For other things you can do to be prepared, visit www.ready.gov. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Homeland Security and the Ad Council.
The new home for visionary positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
This This is Spirituality 101 with Reverend Norma. We encourage your participation in this course. Please call in toll-free at 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. If you wish to provide written correspondence, please address your emails to myspirituality101@yahoo.com. Now, back to Spirituality 101.
Welcome back. This is Reverend Norma, and we were in the middle of a definition for twin flames. Caller wanted to know the difference between soulmates and twin flames, and we just had a definition for soulmates. Twin flames are the exact two halves of the same vibration and the same spirit as it manifests here on Earth with the specific and primary purpose to manifest whatever it is that this soul, the collective soul, has committed itself to manifest. Twin flames happen very rarely. I believe, and here this is part of my direct teaching, but I believe it occurs something like once every 3,000 years for the souls that are involved, for the soul that is involved. On the way down, the soul splits, and it generally splits into male and female. So when you have, well, when you come upon twin flames, they're usually a male and a female connection. Soulmates can be the same sex, they can be the same age, they can be the same culture, whatever. But twin flames are generally a male and a female combination, which represents that male and that female aspects of the seeding, and it splits in half and finds its way, and we find ourselves into two different bodies. Now, very many people, of course, feel that when twin flames meet, everything is joyous, beautiful, gracious, and wonderful. And there are aspects of the twin flame relationship that is absolutely sacred and beautiful. But often when twin flames actually first meet, what happens is, even though you are the two halves of each other, you've been socialized in different places, because all of the experiences that these two halves are having are being fed into the same memory bank. And so, therefore, it makes sense to be able to maximize this opportunity for, let us say, the male of the two to get himself born into a family, a large family where there's a lot of collaboration and so on and love and so on and so forth. And for the female, it would not make sense for the female to be born into the same family, because that would be a lost opportunity to learn the other side of the coin. So generally, the other partner will choose a family that is totally the opposite to the partner over here, because what you're learning is being fed into the same pool, if you can imagine that. And it gives the opportunity to be able to learn two things consecutively at the same time. So when we find ourselves in step with our twin flame, what begins to happen is we've got to do some work in order to clear all the karmic and the physical aspects that are in the way. And now, if two people who are twin flames find themselves on that threshold, but they have not had any training on how to clear karma, how to kind of overcome emotional stuff, how to put the past aside, if they've had no training in that, then the relationship initially will be very stormy, because now in a very short space of time, there is a requirement that this learning should take place. My first caller asked the question, how do you prepare for sacred relationships? If you are hoping to be able to attract your twin flame into your life, then it requires you to begin to do this work of spiritual breakdown, to do the internal work, to clear all that stuff out of the way, to do the work and engage the practices that will allow you to clear karmic stuff. Because you see, even though you're twin flames, you've manifested in other lifetimes. Usually twin flames work this way. One stays upstairs and becomes the guide to the one who's walking here, and vice versa. And then every 3,000 years or so, the two souls descend to Earth at the same time. So one has to have some training or knowledge on how to clear karmic stuff very quickly. One has to have some knowledge about deep meditation. One has to know how to clear the debris of emotional stuff that comes about when you're walking on the physical. Now, if there's training on both sides to be able to do that quickly, then you have the most beautiful, gratifying, gracious, sacred relationship you'll see anywhere in the world. If, however, when they stand and face each other, there is not enough training, there is a lack of knowing how to clear debris, and then the first part of that relationship is going to be very rocky while the debris gets cleared out of the way. I don't know if I'm making as much sense as I would like that to make, but twin flame relationships is the ultimate sacred space. And when you see twin flames together, particularly when they have been able to clear all the emotional debris and et cetera out of the way, one gets the opportunity to see this absolute flame. I mean, it literally bursts into a flame. If you have spiritual sight, when you see twin flames together, it's the most glorious thing, because with your spiritual eye, what you're looking at is one flame burning very brightly and not two. But however, it requires work, it requires attention, to spiritual detail, and twin flames are brought together so that they can fulfill their spiritual work and destiny here on the planet. When twin flames leave the planet Earth, they merge back into one. And so when I conduct weddings of people that I perceive are twin flames, I remove the line out of the ceremony that says, until death us do part, because they will not be parted at death, but rather will be united. I hope that helps you to understand it. One last quick question from someone who talked about, why is it so difficult when we come face to face with partners who we feel we have walked with in a life before, and we're expecting that these relationships will just come together and take off. Why is it that there is sometimes so much difficulty with past life encounters? And again, I want to say to you again, we walk, we're drawn into each other's space for a season, for a reason. And sometimes I find that people will go out and they may get a reading that says, you know, you walked with Johnny before, but in this lifetime, you may be not be required to walk with Johnny in this lifetime. You may not be you may have had a wildly emotional relationship back there two lifetimes back, but at this time, that is not what the requirement is. And I feel that a lot of pain comes about when people have expectations. Well, if we've walked four lifetimes before, we ought to be able to do this thing at the drop of a hat. And that may not be the requirement of the universe right now. Want to just end. Time flies so very, very quickly. I want to give you some what I call cornerstones that will help our spiritual relationships to grow. Cornerstones like, we have got to learn about love, what the word love really means, be able to touch the love inside of us before we can really give it out to another. So one of the cornerstones to great spiritual relationships is to learn more about love. If you love to sing, get into singing. It would teach you about love. If you love to cook, get into cooking. It would teach you about love. If children resonate well with you and bring that loving spirit, then you need to interact with children. Remember that one of the cornerstones for spiritual relationships is communication. Communication with spirit, communication with self, communication with others. Must find your inner self in order to be able to enjoy a spiritual relationship. There has to be a willingness to change. And you have got to embrace the gift of spiritual awareness in order to be able to function in a truly spiritual and sacred relationship. Reach for the sacred. Reach for the spiritual. And the more you grow in spirituality and the more you grow in graciousness, the more you grow in your awareness, you are better able to handle a spiritual relationship. God bless you.
Class is dismissed. Until next week, make sure you're on time to join Reverend Norma every Friday at noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time for another session of Spirituality 101. We'll see you then on Seventh Wave Network.